chapter 5, and then, well, just start there. I got one other place, two other places may look at along the way, but Genesis chapter 5, that actually parts of the words of that song, didn't think about it until I was sitting there, would actually go along with what we're... Thank you very much. Go along with what we're preaching on today. In Genesis 5, verse 21, and the Bible says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and we ask now that you just speak to our hearts as we look and listen, Lord, and you know our needs, Lord, the need of every heart that's here. We're praying for those that may not be walking with you, and that today will be the day they make a decision, Lord, to follow you. And so we'll put that into your hands this morning, Lord, and trust you for our salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And the title of the message this morning is Living on Purpose. Living on Purpose. So maybe subtitle it Walking with God. We see Enoch in the Bible here, and it said that he walked with God. We know Enoch was the father of Methuselah, who was the oldest man in the world, in the Bible. 969 years he lives. And the Bible says that Enoch was 65 years old when he became a father. And that was a turning point in his life, and he began, the Bible says, to walk with God. I'm one of those people that kind of sees humor in just about anything or everything, and I got to thinking about that. I thought, boy, becoming a father at 65 years old, if that wouldn't cause you to start praying, I don't know what else would, huh? I mean, you know, 65 years old, and your wife comes in and says, honey, I got a surprise for you. I'm pregnant, and we're having a child. I'm thinking, man alive. But anyway, just food for thought there. But it said that at that point in time that there was, something happened. I don't know what it was, but the text implies the way that it's written there. It says that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And then it says Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. And then he walked with God for 300 years after that. And so that implies that for the first 65 years of his life, that he did not walk with God. 65 years, he didn't walk with God. Now, I don't know what Enoch did for the first 65 years. I mean, we can only speculate. There's a lot of people that are not walking with God in the world today. And, what are they doing? I mean, they're living their life. I mean, they're working their job. They're making money, buying houses, buying cars, buying food, sending their kids to school. Whatever we do, we're doing that with life. And like a lot of people are doing today, the whole world out here is living its life. Tonight, I'm going to preach a message on not walking with God. What a life looks like when you don't walk with God. And you look and you'll find out, you'll see what was going on in that time. Just civilizations were being built. People were being experts with metalwork and doing all kind of things, making music and getting married and doing their own thing. You know, they're living their life apart with God, and you can do that. You can live your life apart from God, or you can live your life with God, and there's going to be two outcomes that are going to be totally different with that, and even two types of lives that you live, it can live in that, on this earth would be different. And so I don't know, like I said, what Enoch did in the first 65 years, but I know that after he started walking with God, that he was living his life with purpose. That's the title of the message today, Living His Life with Purpose. There was a definite change. Now, I kind of got fired up on this, and I was talking about it with the Wednesday night crowd. We had our Bible study, and we talked about this some, and I got to thinking about this. Listen, this is what I told them, you Wednesday night people, this will just be rehashing it for you, but I liked it so much, I said the whole church needs to hear about it. I was listening to a guy preaching on the radio, on Christ Life Radio. He was preaching about preaching. That's what his, you know, he was talking about preaching, how we ought to preach. And one of the things he said, you know, we culturally, things are different. You know, what we might have to preach about culturally in another nation or in another time period would be different than what we would preach culturally now to your church, and every congregation is different. I feel pretty confident I could preach this in about any church, at least in America today. It would fit very well. But we do have, you know, we have to preach to what our needs are. And this guy was pointing out, you know, like you get a bunch of Christians together, and if you want to have a real, you know, get a lot of amens and all that, you just preach on the stuff that you know that they already know they don't have a problem with. Like, you know, he was saying, he was using, for example, he said, boy, you know, you can get up there and get a bunch of Christians together and say, boy, this is the Word of God, and I'm, you know, guarantee you this is the Word of God. And everybody's like, amen, they're all fired up about that. Or you preach against some of the social issues that we see in the world today. You want to preach against homosexuality or something? Everybody says, amen about that. But, you know, that's okay. But, you know, there's things that we need to address. What we need to preach to our congregations, and we also preach to ourselves. We preach to our congregations what their need is, what your need is, and, you know, how to help us along, and what, you know, things that we really need maybe to be convicted about. Not stuff that we don't have an issue with, but stuff that would convict us to help us, you know, in our relationship with God. And so I'm hoping that this message is going to fit that bill today. But I told the church Wednesday night, listen, you can't live a Christian life by accident. You know, what it is a lot of people, they get saved, and then that's it. It's like when they get up to salvation, they get saved, and then nothing happens past that. What's God doing in your life? Well, you know, 40 years ago I got saved. Okay, what about after that? Nothing. And, you know, we don't know. They're just like thinking about it. Oh, you know, well, let's see. What's going on? I'm not sure. You know, what is going on in your life that, you know, it's not going to just happen. You know, the Bible says that, you know, we're to be Christ-like. We talk about Enoch. He walked with God. How did Enoch walk with God? I mean, he was just sitting there, and God forced him. God grabbed him by the ear and pulled him down along there and said, you going to walk with me? You know, something happened in his life. He decided he was going to walk with God. If we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to grow in the Christian life, if we're going to have a spiritual life, listen, it's not going to happen by accident. I use it with the Wednesday night crowd. I use the bodybuilder, illustration. You know, when we was kids, they had the old Hot Rod magazines in the back of Hot Rod magazine. Back in those days, it was Charles Atlas. He was a guy like, compared to like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something today, he was a real big bodybuilder. If you want to look like Charles Atlas, you know, send in your coupon and you're going to get, you know, this thing and your body's weights. And, you know, that's it. And all the men thought, oh, you know, hey, I want to look like Charles Atlas, or I want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, look at me, man. I mean, you know what? If you want to look like this, it takes effort to look like this. Huh? You know, I mean, you just don't look like this on accident. What are you laughing about there? you got to put some work into looking like this. If you want to look like Charles Atlas, one of those guys, you know, everybody said, well, yeah, I'd like to look like that. The problem is you got to lift, to look like that, you got to get out there and you got to lift them weights and you got to pump that iron, you got to shoot them steroids up. I mean, but you got to get out there and you got to do some work, right? And the problem is we'd like to do it, but we don't want to put the commitment in to doing it, man. I mean, I'd try, you know, got there, I got the weights, man. I'd go out in the garage, I'd do some curls, you know, do a few of them, think, yeah, I'm going to get into it. That usually lasts about 3 days, and then I didn't feel like doing it no more, you know, and I kept looking in the mirror and nothing was changing, right? I was still a skinny 155-pound kid, you know, looking on there, you kind of flexing in there, and nothing was going on, right? Well, that's, and we understand it. Listen, nothing that's worth anything gets done without an effort, right? I mean, you know, hey, I'd like to have my own business. I just want my own business. Where's it at? How's that happen? How's that panning out for you? Huh? Not going to happen, is it? You know, you're going to have your own business. You're going to have to get started. You're going to have to do some planning. You're going to have to do some, you might have to take some classes. You know, you got to know something about whatever you want to have a business in. You got to figure out how to do it. Nothing worth anything is going to happen by accident. And you cannot be a Christian. You can't live a Christian life on accident. See, a lot of people get saved and they think, well, when you get saved, don't you get the Holy Spirit? Sure you do, but you still got to study the Word of God because God tells us to do it. But a lot of us are like an old, you know, that old saying, they say a dead fish can swim downstream, right? I mean, you throw a dead fish in the river, he'll swim downstream. But a lot of Christians are like the tide. I mean, the tide comes in, they float this way. The tide goes out, they flow that way. Nothing is going on. It looks like no, it's just like an accidental Christian life. And it's just not gonna happen. And that's, I think, the problem, like I said today for us. I could preach this anywhere, probably in America, that this is what we happen a lot of times. Sure, yeah, well, we're just coming to church. We are coming to church. Okay, great. But, you know, that's good. That's a step. That's, you know, but there's a progression in Christianity progresses. Your Christian life progresses. And so there's more to it than this. Huh? There's more to it than just come and listen to the preacher on Sunday morning. Huh? Maybe, hearing a little bit of music, or maybe even there's, and no matter where you go in your faith life, listen, there's always, we can grow and walk with God. I mean, we pray, we read our Bible, we learn, we know more, we understand some more. We start exercising faith. There's a good one right there. Exercising faith. So it's not going to happen, like I say, on accident. Enoch, it says, walked with God. It wasn't an accidental thing. It wasn't accidental. He just one day looked, no, there was God right there with him walking. They were walking along. No, he decided 65 years he didn't walk with God. Then all of a sudden there was a change in his life, his spiritual mind or whatever happened in his life. I was just kidding around about having children, but somehow that's the Bible says it. I don't know why it says it, but it said after he had Methuselah, maybe the kid was just wild and he had to, you know, I don't know. But after he had him, that he walked with God. And so he made a decision. He purposed in his heart and mind. And if you ever, that's the thing with a lot of us. We got so many things going on, we can't get focused on the one thing, the main thing, the most important thing. And that's what we see that in Christianity today, in Christian circles today. And so, we see that Enoch, I'll tell you, he didn't live like the rest of the world. And you'll notice, and I'll read it when we get to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll find out he didn't die like the rest of the world either. The Bible says God translated him, man. He never died. He was just walking with God, and then God took him on home. I mean, he pictures the church. I understand that a little deeper than that, but he understands that. But his walk stood out to the world, and his walk stood out with God too. And so if we're going to live our lives on purpose, if we're going to live our Christian lives on purpose, if we're going to walk with God, if we're going to please God, we're going to have to do some things or take some steps. I only got three of them, lucky you. I only got three steps that you got to really concentrate on, focus on, if we're going to walk with God. The very first one is that we have to walk in direction. We have to walk in direction or in a direction. You know that God has a plan and purpose for all of the universe, all of creation. God's not, you know, there's a philosophy, there's evolutionists that think things evolved. There's another group of people, I know they got a name as an ism probably attached to it, I can't think of it right now, but what it is it's like, well, they believe that God got everything started way back there in Genesis. You know, he got the world made and he got it started and he got Adam and Eve on there, kind of got the ball rolling theology, and then he just like standing back and kind of seeing what's going to happen, and then he kind of like, well, I got to fix this problem and I got to take care of that. That's not how it's working at all. Listen, God has a plan from A to Z, on everything in the universe. And I like to tell, but this kind of shocks people sometimes. When you look at somebody in the eye and say, well, listen, I know some people think this way. God, yeah, God's got a big old plan, and he's got a plan for the universe, and he's got heaven, and there's hell, and there's a judgment day. They might believe all that. But when you get right down personal with it and say, you know what? But God's got a plan for your life. Everybody's life. Everybody fill in the blank. God has a plan for your life. Now, whether you're on the plan that God has for your life or not depends on if you're walking with God. You know, if you're not walking with God, you're probably on your plan for your life, not God's plan for your life. Now, and I'm not saying you can't get through life. I'm not saying, you know, it might be okay, but I'll tell you, it'll never be as good as what God has for you in your life. It's always a better life. That's a good amen point right there. If you're not sure when to say amen, that'd be a good one right there. God has a plan. And so God's just not letting everything happen. Or he's in a fog somewhere and he's not sure what to do. That God is, he's got a mission and he's on that mission. One thing the Bible says that God is building his church. He asked Peter who he was, and he told him he was the Christ. And he said, upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. You know, God's agenda, how many of you know this for sure? That sometimes how many of you know that God's agenda a lot of times is probably a whole lot different than ours? How many of you know that God's got a priority sometimes it's probably not our priority, or our priority's not God's? How many of you understand that? God's got something else going on sometimes. He is interested in building his church. Now, church is people. I know that's not just the building his church. He's building our people, saved people. He's interested in the salvation of souls, people getting saved. I mean, that's something that God's interested in. That's his biggest concern. His biggest concern. And I'm not saying God's not involved in our life where God is thinking that God has, you know, we pray about things and we got something going on and God is interested in your life right there. But I'm going to tell you what, it's not the priority. Our little world is not the priority. It's the kingdom of God. God's more interested, listen, in people getting saved than he is your kid being a good ball player. I mean, he's more interested. It's not that he's not interested in your kid being a good ball player, but he's more interested in somebody getting saved than your kid being a good ball. God's more interested in somebody getting saved than he is in your retirement account. God's more interested in somebody getting saved than he is in your bank account. I mean, God's more interested in that than any other thing because there's nothing more important than the salvation of somebody's soul. He is building his church. That's his plan and purpose. And I'm going to tell you, when you get walking with God, that's going to be your plan. That's going to be your purpose right there. Part of your purpose, at least, is building, God's building program centered upon Jesus Christ and his word. Another thing, the Bible tells us that he's building his kingdom. You know, our problem is we got our kingdom. See, we all got our little kingdom. We got our little throne that we sit on, whether it be at our home or in that sense, or whether it's internal. Who's sitting on the throne in here? You know, and most of us, see, it's us. You know, we do what we want to do, and we don't do what we don't want to do. A lot of times people say, well, you know, preacher, you know why I haven't been coming to church? I say, yeah, I know exactly why you didn't want to. I mean, it's real simple. I mean, all the other things are just excuses. I mean, you know, we got the excuses and there's a reason. And the reason, you know, human beings are funny like that. We do what we want to do. We just do what we want to do. We got a bone in our head to make us do. But we get this, we're on the throne. See, we're building our kingdom and we got it all going on in our mind. And I mean, listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't have plans for your life. You know, hey, plan for retirement. Please do that. Don't, you know, that way I don't have to support you when you retire. You're not, you know, or the working people don't have to support you while you're, you know, plan for retirement. I think you ought to do that and all that. But realize there's something bigger going on. That God's got it. God's got a plan. God's got a kingdom. He's building his church. He's building his kingdom. And I'm going to tell you what, he's doing things for his glory. I tell you, I saw a shirt. We went to the ball game the other night at the some of the church folks. We went to the Salem Red Sox baseball game. It's pretty neat. We were sitting there, but I saw something, man. And I know the shirt was trying to say one thing, but I pointed out to my wife. I said, "Look at that shirt." It was a young girl had it on right in front of us. And I said, "Boy, if this isn't an ironic thing right there." And what it was about a girls' softball team, but they were supposed to be Christians, and they probably were. I'm not saying they weren't. But it was a girls' softball team, and it says, "Giving God the glory." That's what it said. And it had a silhouette on there, and it had a cross on there. And on the cross, on the silhouette, it had a baseball bat leaning off like this on an angle and a ball right here. And the girl was kneeled down at the foot of the cross with the softball bat and the ball laying right there. And I said, "Boy, the truth be known, there's more people worshiping them sports than they are worshiping God." I said, "Might as well put a basketball hoop on it." You know what I'm saying? I mean, they say it's all for the glory of God. Take the bat away, take the ball away, and see if they're still kneeling down there at the cross when it's all over with, man. Because I tell you what, sports has gone nuts in this country, and people would, if people put the effort into worshiping God and serving God than they do and spending the money on that travel ball and all that stuff, and I'm not against all that. I'm just saying that, you know, God gets knocked out most of the time when that happens. So God's building his church, he's building his kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's not all our plan right there. But I want you to notice something, too, about what it says there. It says Enoch walked with God, not God walked with Enoch. You getting this right here? Now, I'm not saying that it's a problem, but I'm just saying that I believe, you know, that God does walk with us. I mean, God desires it. He knocks on our heart's door and this and that, and, you know, and he wants a relationship with us. I understand that. But here's the thing. Enoch walked with God. And the business is this. God's going in a direction. And if you're going to walk with God, you have to walk in that direction, the direction God's going. You know, in other words, you're not going to go away from the direction that God's going in. You're not going to walk in another direction and think that God is just going to go along with that. Huh? You start walking away. Listen, you know, you can walk away from God. You can get away from God. And God may call to you, and God may you know, speak to your heart, and he wants you to come with him. But listen, God's not going to say, well, I'm just going to throw everything out I got going on, and I'm just going to go with you, no matter what kind of ungodliness it may be leading me into. No, if you're going to walk with God, you got to go in the direction that God is going in, okay? You got to go in that direction, and that's what Enoch had to do, go in God's direction. And he walked, the Bible says we walk by faith. God doesn't alter his plans necessarily. He doesn't alter his plans to fit our plans. We have to alter our plans to fit his plan. If you want to walk with God, get up and walk with God. That's what you have to do. Then the second thing is walk in dimension. Walk in dimension. Walking with God implies and requires a spiritual mindset. A spiritual mindset. He started thinking about the spiritual side of things. Matthew Henry said this, speaking about Enoch, he said he was eminently active, progressively and perseveringly religious in conformity to God, communion with God, and complacency in God. You know, in other words, it's this. You know, you start getting a spiritual mindset, you start thinking along the lines of spiritual things. He had to turn away from some other things. He had to turn away from some things of this world. And there's things in this world, listen, that tempt us every day to get away from God. They pull us away from God. There's, you know, and you got to have, you know, the thing that helps me the most is you got to understand that there's a spiritual warfare going on. And I see things come up and I think, man, there is the devil right there. We fought him all morning this morning. Got this morning, the computer wouldn't run. We couldn't get the choir practice starting on time. We couldn't, you know, you see the, I mean, and I think to myself, yeah, that's the devil. You know, he just, and it it goes on every day. Every day. Anything that's pulling you away from God is of Satan. It's pulling you away. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a thing in itself is not sin. If it's taking you away from God, it's the devil doing it. Listen, the devil can use a good thing. He can use your kids. He can use your kids to pull you away from God. He can use your job. He can use money. He can use anything to take you away from God. And so you have to be in a spiritual dimension there. And Romans 8:5-8 says this. It says, for they that are after the flesh, that's opposite of spirit, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. In other words, that's what they're interested in. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. In other words, they mind the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded, which is opposite of spiritually minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or is in opposition. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, so walking with God, it requires a spiritual thought, a spiritual dimension, that's something that I need, that there's more to life than this physical, that there's a spiritual. And then Enoch lived in the flesh. He walked for 65 years. He didn't live in a spiritual dimension. And then something changed, and he said he wanted to walk with God after that. Walking also implies progress. Look here, Christian. It's not floating like a dead fish down the river or in with the tide. Walking is, if I'm here and I'm walking at all, I'm moving. It's a growth. It's a moving in a direction. It implies growth as well. Walk is a metaphor in the Bible for your life. A lot of times, just living their movement, getting somewhere. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Listen, everybody's at a different place. It doesn't matter how slow you walk. You're still going to get somewhere. Somebody might walk faster than you. They're going to get there faster. They're going to get farther in the same amount of time. But if you're walking, you're getting somewhere. And if you're walking with God, you're going in his direction. You're getting to the place that God wants you to get to. You're getting there. You're making progress. You're having growth. Too many lives, Christian lives, I see this, are at a standstill. They're at a standstill. There was a song back in the 60s. I'm old enough to remember that. There's a song. It was a group called the Soul Survivors, and they sang this song. And then one of the lines of the song said, there's too much traffic. I had to write it down. I can't even remember. The expressway to your heart, that's the name of the song. The expressway to your heart was much too crowded. Much too crowded. That's what I see going on today. Too many, man, we got so many irons in the fire. It's just like, oh, good grief, man. It's something going on all the time, man. And to have a spiritual walk and having a spiritual dimension, I mean, some things are going to have to be, you got to drop something. And unfortunately, today, most people drop God or the things of God. It's not the other things that get dropped off. It's the things of God. As I said, if you walk with God, you're going to get where God is going. And it implies a right relationship with God. And then the third thing is walk in desire. Walk in desire. You know, Enoch, like I said a few minutes ago, Enoch walked with God. You know why? Because he wanted to. He just wanted to. I mean, you know, there's nothing going to hinder you. If you want to walk with God, listen, God's willing. God's able. God's ready. I mean, it's not a problem. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, like I said, something, I don't know what Enoch did for the first 65 years, but after Methuselah was born, he had a change of mind. He renewed, his mind renewed. Something happened. How many of you remember back before you got saved? How many of you remember, man, how your thinking was before you got saved? I remember I grew up in a time when I didn't know anybody that didn't believe in God hardly till I was a teenager. I knew about God. I believed in God. I knew about the cross. I knew that Jesus died on the cross. I knew about the resurrection. I knew there was a heaven. I believed it. And I knew there was a hell. And I believed it. I knew all that stuff, but I did not have a relationship with God. When I had a relationship with God, my thinking started changing. Got into a spiritual dimension. Started walking with God. Started going in the direction that God's going. Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, there's stumbles. There's trips. Sometimes I was backing up instead of going forward. I mean, there was issues. But what happened, thinking started changing about things in life. I see things from a different point of view, from God's point of view. He renewed his mind. He changed his thinking. Look what it says in verse 24. It said, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. And he was not. Now, I know it's talking about when he was translated, but there was somebody wrote this, said, yeah, he was not all right. He was not conformed to the culture of this world. He was not controlled by the culture of this world. And he was not condemned with this world. After Methuselah died, his son lived 969 years. After he died, God, that's when the flood came that Noah, in Noah's day, the flood came and destroyed the world. So what does that tell us? That means that Enoch walked in a wicked world. In a very wicked world. It was not unlike the world we see today. He walked in that wicked world. Now listen, was it easy? Well, on the one hand, if we really trust in God, put our faith in God, there's an easiness to it. But at the same time, listen, it's hard to live in evil every day. It's hard to live around wickedness every day, what we see, and everybody pulling you in a different direction. And now we got persecution, which is arising, which isn't a bad thing. We got persecution that's coming against us. And you can't pray in school, and you can't take, you know, all kind of laws against the things that the laws of God. And we got, you know, everywhere you look, man, I mean, people half dressed that's just on the television commercials, man. You can't watch a commercial about a cheeseburger, man. It ain't got sex involved in it. That's pulling at you. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. Oh, man, you know, buy a new car, you know, get this high-dollar car, and some girl's going to float down out of heaven. It looks like Miss America. She's going to land in the passenger seat beside you, and you're going to drive off and leave your wife behind. It's all kind of stuff going on in the world. It's hard to live a way. I mean, it's a battle. I want to say that, but I'm going to tell you something. It's just like walking. You know, now we think, well, walking's pretty easy, isn't it? For most of us, it is. But sometimes, you know, when you get up first thing in the morning, it's not that easy. Not for me. Huh? You got to do that old hobble around, hold on to the bedpost till you kind of get going, you know. It gets hard if something, you know, as it goes along, you get going along. But on the other hand, if everything's okay with you, walking's a pretty easy thing, right? Just walking. Just walk with God, right? So, I mean, yeah, is it hard? It can be, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a doable thing. Can you do it? Yeah. Listen, Enoch walked with God 300 years in a wicked world that's not unlike the world. The world got so wicked that God destroyed it. Not too long after he died, he got it. And we're living in a wicked world right now. And guess what? God's going to destroy this one too. And so we're living in about the same kind of wickedness that he lived in. He walked with God for 300 years. Give me 300 minutes. Huh? Give me 300 hours. Give me 300 days. Huh? Start somewhere, right? Try walking with God for 300 minutes. Then walk with God for 300 days. And then walk with God for however many years God gives you. Just start walking with God. Yeah, it's a doable thing there. And I'm going to tell you what, over in Hebrews 11:5, under Heroes of Faith, it mentions Enoch. It said, by faith, Enoch was translated. That means that God just took him home, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He had a testimony that he pleased God. You can check in. Jude tells us, you know what Enoch did for 300 years? He preached. He preached the word of God. He kept telling them that there was a judgment coming. He kept telling them for 300 years. And it came, like I say, some years after he died. He kept telling them. It was a wicked world. Did they want to hear it? Uh-uh. They didn't want to hear it. He kept preaching. We know when Noah's day, when the flood finally came, how many people got saved? 8 people. That was it. The whole world. There was millions of people on the earth then. A lot of people think it wasn't. There was millions of people on the earth. Only 8 people heard the word of God and 8 people got saved. He walked with God because he wanted to. He didn't worry about pleasing everybody else in the world. He didn't worry about pleasing the ball coach. He didn't worry about pleasing his family. He just walked with God and worried about pleasing God. He fellowshipped in obedience 300 years. Like I said, you're not going to live the Christian life by accident. You can't walk with God by accident either. You know, there's going to have to be some things that you have to let go. And you're going to have to change the direction. You might, maybe you're kind of going in that direction. But you can just veer off a little bit, right? And then the farther you go, the farther away you get. You only got to be off 1 degree. If you know anything about distance and travel, I was in the Navy. You can get a ship. You can be off. If you only got to go a mile, you're off 1 degree. It's not a problem. You're going to get there. But if you got to go 1,000 miles and you're off 1 degree, you're not even going to see the land you're supposed to hit. Huh? So you only got to be off a little bit. Huh? Walk with God. Walk close with God. It's not going to happen by accident. If you're going to walk with God, you got to go in the direction that God is going. Now, here's another thing. It's not too late. Enoch was 65 before he started walking with God. And some people say, well, you know, I'm just going to wait till I'm 65. Don't do that either. Number one, no guarantee you're going to get 65. If you're very young today, I believe the Lord will come back before you hit 65. Walk with God, man. I mean, you know, it's not too late. We can start, you say, well, I'm going to start walking with God today. Yes, you can. You can start walking with God today. Amen. Yeah.